You've been injured in an auto accident, and now you're drowning in medical bills or dealing with insurance companies who couldn't care less about you. Injury attorney David Femininio needs to be your first call, period. Get David, get paid. It's not just a catchy phrase. It's a promise. So if someone you know has been injured, don't just sit there and hope things get better. Call David at 855-65-CRASH or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's getdavidgetpaid.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
We're having a conversation right now about five teams in the NFL expected to decline. The Lions were one of the five. This is from Bill Barnwell, ESPN. And they listed the Chiefs, Vikings, Commanders, Colts, and Lions. And the Lions, the concerns, we've talked about them. The schedule, the coordinators, the interior offensive line, Ali McNeil not being healthy until the second half of the season. And we wanted to know, okay, fine, they're going to take a step back. How big a step back? What is the expectation? And then, John, I asked you to think on it. Knowing they're not going to win all the games or 15 games, what's one they must win to you?
I know a lot of people want to say, you know, Packers, because it's division opponent. It's right out the gate. It's got to set the tone. I'm going to look a little further down the list, and you've got a stretch of NFC games where it's the Bucs, the Vikings, the Commanders, Eagles, and those Commanders, Eagles games are on the road. That's where you should start to get, or at least consider getting, Ali McNeil back.
Sure.
Getting him in the mix. And I think with what happened in the playoffs last year, and some of it is the Commanders are going to be a force to be reckoned with for the foreseeable future. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think we're starting to, could this be the Pistons, Bulls, 80s, you know, got to get over the Celtics, the Bulls got to get over the Pistons. Like, and I'm not saying they got to get over the Washington, but I think there's a nice, fun rivalry between two teams that are going to be forces for a while. Last year, Washington got the better of Detroit. We are going to their house this year, and it's a prelude to playing the Eagles. I think that Commanders game, because of where it sits, that's a must-win game.
Well, there was this thought like Jaden Daniels is going to terrorize the NFC for years to come, and you got to get payback. So emotionally, you circle that one. You could say the Eagles, but I'm not really worried about beating them in the regular season. I know I got to beat them in the postseason. Tom, was there a game for you?
So before I give mine, John, I cannot believe you think the Commanders are like that could go to that rivalry. I think the Commanders could be a little overrated.
They might be, but Jaden Daniels isn't going anywhere. He can win a lot of games for him.
But he could have a second year like CJ Stroud.
Sure.
So, but if he wins MVP, they're going to be great. I'm just going to say this, though. They won a ton of close games last year. They were a very, very fortunate team.
But what did they do for him? They went and got him a good left tackle. Right? He's going to be more protected, not going to have to run around as much. It's still part of his game, but he'll be able to deliver the ball downfield. Now, who knows what happens with Scary Terry?
But he was, they had so much break their way last year, like those last second wins, including a Hail Mary. I think they could be good, but like a 10-win team. Yeah, I don't expect them to run away. And
I still think the Eagles are king in the East. We'll see.
Yeah.
But to the point, mine is, I know it is stating the obvious. It's the first game for the Lions. It's a divisional road game. They've kind of, you know, had their way with Green Bay a little bit under Campbell. I think getting off to a good start, banking some wins, starting 2-0 because Chicago's the next week in the North, you're really seizing control of the division already. And then you got those games 3 out of 4 against Burrow, Lamar, and Mahomes.
So think about this. It could be the difference in a 2-1 or a 1-2 start.
Right.
Because you feel like you should beat the Bears, and we know Baltimore is going to be a pain. It's the difference between a 2-1 or a 1-2 start.
When I picked them to go 11-6.
Could be 3-0.
I think they're starting 3-3. I think winning those games on the road without Aleem McNeil is going to be a very tall task.
But it's critical to get the first one.
But if Terrion Arnold steps up and is a really good corner, then maybe they could win one of those games. You know, to me, Terrion Arnold is such an important player this year.
They go to Cincinnati. They go to Washington. They go to Philadelphia. They go to Baltimore. They go to Kansas City.
And there's a lot of people that are just writing those off as losses. I don't think that they go there and just simply lose all those games. I think there's some of those games they are going to go there and win. And I know I chirped in there with the snarky 3-0. They could be 3-0, right? Because they haven't played a game yet. We don't know what this team is going to be, but it's at the Packers, it's the Bears, and then their first gigantic test is at the Ravens. What is this team going to be? Who is Jared Goff going to be? Can they go on the road? Last time they went to Baltimore, they got smoked.
Well, this team's better than that team.
Right.
But, I mean, that's a tall task.
Well, then maybe you want to see Baltimore's the one game because it's early and it would be proof that they're going to be better than people think. The doom isn't going to set in. Let us know. 248-539-9797. See, I'm kind of expecting them to lose some of those early games. What I need to see is them go to the extra gear in the second half of the season. So I'm looking at the Packers the second time in November, late November. That's a game where you should have McNeil. That's where you need to start turning the corner and revving things up and making sure you secure your division. I think the Packers are the second best team in this division. So strategically, I want that one. 248-539-97. Yeah, Thanksgiving. Let's make it happen. Let's party. I'm sure Heather would like to see a win on Christmas Day, right?
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Be better than a loss.
Well, it is.
Of course. Sulking all Christmas Day?
No. There'll be no sulking because he will not be watching. He'll be enjoying the...
Right.
The gift opening.
Yeah, he'll have no idea
time.
What happens at in that Lions game. He will have no idea. Yeah,
Colin has an angry side. I mean, Christmas night after a loss.
They need to win that one for your sake. Let's get to the phones. Yeah. Greg in Detroit. Greg, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Love you guys. Well, here's something for you. I don't think the Lions are going to take a step back at all. I think one thing that has to happen to any team, you have to learn how to win, and you learn how to win through great hardships. And I think the Lions suffering that going out of the first round loss was a great hardship. I think with all the winning that they've been through, they finally this year are more grounded. And I think that everybody has something to improve now. The defense... it's going to be back. We're going to have more of a defense. And so then to understand that last year we were 12 points from going away from having an undefeated season. Also, all our losses were at home, so I'm not worried about going away. And even in our losses at home, we scored over 100 points in the combination of those three losses. So I don't see us stepping back at all. I see a grounded and more focusedness.
Maybe I set this up all wrong. I mean, I had the assumption.
I think I ruined your whole segment. I think I ruined your whole segment.
It won't be the last time.
No.
You know what I think I screwed up?
I'll do it again.
I thought it was assumed they were going to take a step back. But I got calls. I got a co-host. I got people to say, whoa, we're not taking a step back. Guys, it's okay.
You mean somebody disagreed with you? How dare us?
Guys, it's okay to take a step back because it may be the best thing in the world for this team. Like, they're going to get tested a ton in the regular season. They're going to get baptized in some tough environments for a young offensive line.
We just have a different definition of what a step back means.
I think that last guy's got them 17-0.
Well, he may have them 17-0. I do not think they're 17-0.
That's the first concession I've gotten you to make.
Yes.
ESPN listed five teams expected to take a step back this season. The Chiefs, who went 10-0 in one-score games. They have an unsettled O-line. They may be very good, but not that good. The Vikings, who went 8-1 in one-score games. They have a rookie QB and forced just a metric ton of turnovers. Not expected to be 14 wins. The Commanders, sophomore slump for Jaden Daniels. Can they convert 87% of fourth downs? All those last second wins. The Colts were the fourth team listed. I think we can all make sense of that one. They don't know who their quarterback is. Even if you announce Daniel Jones, you don't know who your quarterback is. And then the Lions were the fifth team. So here in Lion Land, we're talking about it. And their explanation was second toughest schedule. Real concern with Goff against pressure. And they provided a bunch of numbers. 28th in the NFL versus pressure. And the obvious, like you're losing your coordinators and Aleem McNeil's injured. The Lions are expected to take a step back. And that's been a point of contention. Some people are not willing to concede that point that they will take a step back this season.
Well, and I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are looking at the schedule and going, yeah, are they going to win 15 games? No. But they could be a better team over the course of 17 games than they were last year, but not win as many games. So if you're just looking for wins and losses, yeah, they take a step back. There's your easy answer. But if they're a better team, because when they get to the NFC, and again, it depends on what we see from Philly this year, because they're not going to be the same. I still think they're really good. I'm not going to say they're going to fall off the map. But in that stretch where they are playing Cincinnati, Baltimore, Kansas City, all those teams on the road, are they going to face anybody tougher in the NFC playoffs?
No.
Or even, you're going to be facing one of those teams in the Super Bowl if you make it that far.
Yeah, the only team they don't play that's in the Super Bowl conversation is Buffalo.
Right.
But everybody else, they're going to see, and they're on the road in all of those games. Yeah, they're going to get a real taste of it in the regular season.
And how'd they do on the road last year?
They were undefeated. Mm.
I think one of the keys with the Eagles is, what does Saquon do? Does he come close to duplicating last year? And if he does, with both DeJean and Mitchell getting better on defense as young players, man, they might be a beast this year. But if Saquon kind of steps back, then I think, okay, there's definitely wiggle room to catch them in the NFC.
Some texts. Do people have amnesia? We lost both coordinators. Dan does not call plays. We will be lucky to go 10-7. Wade in Schwartz Creek.
Dan does not call plays, but he's on the headset, and he's even been on record as recent as a couple of weeks ago saying, yeah, if there's a play I don't like, I can chime in at that time.
Tech says, Goff's comments last year about Detroit sports media relishing in negativity is so true. Listening to you turds talk about how bad this team is going to be is absurd. They had one of the best seasons ever last year, and all you do is complain.
Well, I think the turd comment might be directed at you, because you're giving me a hard time about mentioning that they're going to be a better team.
I don't,
but they're not
it.
Taking a step back.
What I would
your
like
head's
to
about
know,
to explode.
It's going to blow up. This ticket texture, that type of ticket texture drives me crazy. Nobody has said cancel the season or that the Lions can't advance past the first playoff game they play. It's just an admission that they're going to have more losses this year. Prepare for it. Brace for it. Learn from it. Improve because of it. Be better battle tested. That's the rallying cry for this season, is go in expecting to get punched in the mouth harder than you were last year, to struggle more than you did last year. It's okay to acknowledge it. We're not the mean, big, bad radio station for bringing that up.
Okay, let me make it simple for you. And I know you wanted to take the playoffs out of this. I think this is a team that's playing in the NFC Championship game. And so, no, I don't think they take a step back.
Okay. Ticket text 248-539-9797.
Their path to get there may be more
arduous.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not sure this arduous might be
difficult.
It
might not be littered with a first with round bye.
Disappointment.
Okay.
Than last year, but I think they ultimately do better than they did last year. So yeah. I can't sit here and say that they take a step back.
Okay.
I thought I sorted this out a little while ago.
I know. We don't need to go back into this. I think you embrace the struggle of this season.
Yes.
If you're the Detroit Lions. I don't know if all the fans are ready to embrace it because we got people fighting on the very premise that they could lose more football games.
They're going to lose more games, okay?
Embrace, yes. But embrace it. We're not the bad guys for saying it. Embrace it. In fact, it should be used as a tool for this football team because it's not going to be a paved path, paved in gold because they're likely not going to have the one seed, right?
Got you so upset. You
can't even speak this morning. They're likely going to have to go on the road in the playoffs at some point, John, and they may end up in the NFC title game, but it's going to be because of the losses along the way that they learn things.
And I know I chimed in there with the question of how many did they lose on the road last year. Well, we know the answer is none. They will lose on the road this year at some point.
Spoiler alert. The game you want them to win, a must win in this difficult schedule. The text says they must beat the Bears. Ben Johnson twice. Dan in Flat Rock. Another text says, revenge on Ben Johnson. He's so arrogant and a fake Dan Campbell. That's one the players have to want, too.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like beating up on them feels like, I know it'll feel good, but it's kind of like beating the Browns. Like, you're expected to win those games.
Another one, the one they have to win is the Bears. Get the media off the coordinator's back. Sam at work. Week 2.
I'm starting to get the feeling that Chicago home game, the home opener, is going to be a get your popcorn.
Right? Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Like, I hope Campbell does something with a play call, him and Morton.
What's the ideal play call to send that message? Is it running the same play with J-Mo and it's a completion?
Is it what was that play call last year that Goff ran in Chicago? What was it called again?
Stumble bum.
Yeah. Only it's Montgomery throwing it.
Have Penei Sewell throw it, right? He said he had the best arm on the team. Troll him with it.
Yeah. To Goff.
I can't wait, man.
I can't wait either, guys. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Tech says, I'd say the Ravens game, they're considered a Super Bowl candidate. It's early in the season. We'd find out right away. Nelson and Novi.
I can support that. I mean, I almost built that case after I said Washington.
Yeah. Guys, the Lions played great on the road the last two seasons. They were undefeated last year. I can virtually guarantee they won't win 15 games, but they certainly won't crap the bed on the road. That's Bruno in Dearborn.
I agree, Bruno.
Steve in Madison Heights. I'm not too worried about Cincinnati. Their defense sucks. Their offensive line sucks. And I'll predict that Hutch gets 4 sacks in that game. Our offense is too good for their defense. I'm not worried about Cincinnati.
I'm not worried about their defense. And I mean, if Terry and if those defensive backs are healthy and playing at the level that we think that they should play at, Terrion Arnold, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, DJ Reed, Amik Robertson. Like, that's a pretty good secondary. And I like that matchup. Now, is it good enough to shut down the receiver, the group of receivers along with Joe Burrow against Cincinnati? No, they're going to make some plays. But I do like that matchup.
Think about it, too, as a season for Terrion Arnold, the number two corner, they're going to face teams that have two really good receivers. So Cincy being one of them with T. Higgins is going to be a real test. I think Detroit's secondary, I'll agree with Kelvin Shepard, is the strength of their defense. Well, with the two safeties, with Reed coming in, with an underrated nickel corner.
What do they get a chance to practice against every day?
J-Mo and St. Brown and Tesla. Tesla.
I just think this is such a huge year for Terrion Arnold. Like what you just said about the secondary, if Arnold is an above average corner, so let's say he's somewhere between 10 and 15, this secondary is going to be elite.
I agree. That's why I named both names for every guy in the secondary.
And that's going to help the McNeil thing. Because if you're at least the secondary is holding up on the back end, you don't need pressure as bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if Hutch is the one-man wrecking crew that he's been predicted to be this preseason, you might have the best of both worlds.
Phone calls, ticket texts.
Especially with Marcus Davenport.
Now he's really trying to get
for two games. Yes. He won't play in Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly. Out for the season. Done. This is a great one to end the segment on. I think what Jim is trying to say is the regular season record will be a step back, which hardens them for the playoffs. Jim's still a turd, though. AJ and Novi. It's 97.1.
You've been injured in an auto accident, and now you're drowning in medical bills or dealing with insurance companies who couldn't care less about you. Injury attorney David Femininio needs to be your first call, period. Get David, get paid. It's not just a catchy phrase. It's a promise. So if someone you know has been injured, don't just sit there and hope things get better. Call David at 855-65-CRASH or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's getdavidgetpaid.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Welcome back to the Carson Anderson Show, live from Comerica Park. We're just outside of the Comerica Park entrance, the Comerica Bank entrance, north of the Cement Tigers.
Guy walked up, which one of you is Karsh? And I'm like, uh-oh.
You're in trouble?
Yeah, and then he says, I just got to put a name to the face. And I'm like, well, remember, Gator's the black guy.
This is true.
Years ago, we were in spring training and doing the show outside of this stadium in Lakeland. And a Detroiter walked up to us and said hello and talked to us.
Some woman.
I think she might even said, where's Gator? I'm like, this is Gator.
Hi, how are you?
And she said, oh, I thought you were black.
And she was dead serious.
Yeah.
Which was funny to me.
Yes. So, but anyway.
Okay, well, thank you.
We've laughed about that ever since. But anyway, all right, here we go.
Might be the 10-year anniversary, though.
Could it be?
Could be.
I mean, it was a while back. So we asked that question about it, well, how you feel about the Bears, all right? And, you know, they got a lot of offseason hype. As Kyle Brandt said this morning on NFL Network, they won the offseason. They took Ben Johnson, which I think makes Detroit fans a little scared. Given that, you know, Ben Johnson was part of this prolific offense as the coordinator.
Great success. Yeah.
And we wanted everything to stay the same, right? We didn't want to lose him or Aaron Glenn. Lost them both. Okay. You know, doesn't mean the end of the Tigers run by any stretch, or the Lions run, excuse me, by any stretch of the imagination. But it, you know, it means there's some unknown variables here with new coordinators. So we asked people, do you think of the Bears as a threat? Or are they overhyped? And obviously, there's a whole lot of ways to feel about them in between, but these are kind of the extremes. Right now, 21% of our audience think that the Bears are a threat. 79% think they're overhyped. How do you feel about them?
I think right now they're overhyped. This is going to be a weird answer. I think right now they're overhyped.
Yep.
And by the end of the season, I think they're going to be a dangerous team. I just think there's growing pains. It's going to take a little bit. Caleb Williams is going to take a while before he firmly grasps the concepts that, that Ben Johnson is trying to employ. But in the meantime, they're going to have a fighting chance because I think they've added so much to their offensive line to fortify that, to protect him and to also help out in the run game. They've got some really good players there. I think Roma Dunze is going to have a really nice second season in this league. And defensively, they can be a problem. They can present problems. So I don't think the Bears are a threat to win the division. I think that by the end of the season, when you're looking at the last five games of the year, I think the Bears are going to be a team that teams don't really want to face because they'll have started to figure some things out.
248-539-9797.
Bears, is that a cop-out?
What's that?
Is that a cop-out answer?
No. I mean, you think right now they're overhyped.
Yeah.
You think there's, but you're not ruling out.
No, I think, but I think they're overhyped right now. But yeah, I think right now, by the end of the year, they're going to be, I mean, does that mean they're going to win 10 games?
By the end of the year, could they beat a team, a good team or two? Sure.
Yes.
But are they, I mean, they're getting a lot of hype. And here's what added to the hype. An irrelevant data point. A 38-0 win this past weekend over the Bills.
Right.
Is irrelevant. It is one of the most intoxicating things as a fan, is watching your team absolutely destroy someone in the preseason. But it is so misleading. It is so now you'd rather look good than bad.
Yeah.
But you also, we've been around. We've done this. We're veterans.
And, Doug, this is why I value the joint practice way more than a preseason game, because we didn't get to see the starters for the Lions in the preseason game against the Dolphins, but we did get to see the Lions' number one offense go against the Dolphins' number one defense, and it wasn't even close.
At DougAndGator971 on Twitter, go vote. Your comments may get read on the air. Kang, are the Bears a threat or are the Bears overhyped?
So the poll results don't surprise me. I mean, as fans, you're kind of like, hey, blank your rivals, right? You know, everyone's overhyped. You know, screw them. We're better than them. So I don't, you know, the poll thing doesn't surprise me. The real answer is probably in between, of course, but between the two extremes you're giving out there, the two answers, I'm going to go with the Bears are a threat, and here's why. Last year, Gator, if you remember, the Bears versus the Commanders, they lost on a Hail Mary, right? A Hail Mary.
Yep.
The Bears cornerback was in the corner of the end zone celebrating, you know, telling the fans that this game is over, while Jaden Daniels is running around there getting ready to launch a game-winning Hail Mary. Before that Hail Mary was launched, the Bears were actually 4-2. That loss spiraled that team to 10 straight losses. They just never recovered from that moronic or just luck, whatever you want to call it, at the end of that game. They never recovered from it. They were unable to. Matt Eberflus just couldn't right the ship. They've added
you're right. And that was against Washington, who ends up playing in the NFC Championship.
Yes,
game.
A very good team, right? That beat the Lions. So
the dumb stuff that happened against the Lions on, was it Thanksgiving when Eberflus went all Eberflus?
Yep, exactly. That's
great point.
I'm just saying, between the two, I'm going to go with threat. They've added a lot more talent. Clearly, they got a new coach as well. You know, you say the 38-0, you know, preseason game means nothing. It probably doesn't mean anything, Doug, but it's better to look good than bad. I always say that, you know? So I think that, and by the way, you just mentioned the Lions game. The Bears always play the Lions tough. It's like no matter who they have out there. Who's the quarterback that always, Mitch Trubisky? He was like an all-pro quarterback against the Lions, right? It's unbelievable. So I think they are a threat. Now, they may not be a threat to win the division, but they're a threat to cost you to win the division, if that makes any sense.
So, that's something we always talk about is culture. Culture is when things other than football help you win or help you lose, like the leads directly to winning or losing. I think right now, stuff gets in the way. Locker room stuff gets in the way. Losses linger. I think that's an example of the Bears being 4-2 before that Hail Mary and then losing 10 in a row after the Hail Mary. Devastating, embarrassing loss. Coach has to answer to it. Players have to answer about it. You know, there's a lot of finger pointing because it's a careless moment by a player. And I think that's an example of a bad culture. It led to them spiraling. Now, bad culture also might be a sign that you're over there celebrating before a game is done.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a Lion doing that under Dan Campbell.
Oh, hell no.
There was an interview Ryan Clark just did with some Lions. And David Montgomery Ryan Clark asked, look, I want to know what makes Dan Campbell special. And he goes, unequivocal accountability. Whether you're the first man out of the roster, 53rd man out of the roster, he treats us all the same. And when there's something to be said, he says it and holds everybody accountable. And then Jahmyr Gibbs said, man, when I left Alabama, I thought I was going to the pros. It wouldn't be hard practices. I thought it would be sweatpants and all that. And he goes, it wasn't the case at all. Fully padded, going hard all the time and having to show out all the time. And I think the Bears under Eberflus kind of had a bad culture. And so the fact that they lost that Washington game, and at the end of the year, I mean, the Commanders clearly were a team that were a threat. They had developed into a threat, and now they're kind of one of the it teams in the NFL where people are talking about them. So they had that team beat. They had them beat. And that's a team that eliminated the Lions, right? So can you make a compelling case? I think there's going to be a learning curve and growing pains, but I don't think of them as a threat just yet. And if you take a look at this division, the problem they run into is no breaks, right?
That's right.
Yeah, there's no breaks in this division. This is a division where, what do we mention? Three of the top 10 teams are from the division, according to ESPN's first round of power rankings.
And yet there's question marks for each team, right? You got a new coach, new system in Chicago, as we've talked about. You've got Green Bay that wants to answer for the down year they had last year. Was it simply just, hey, their quarterback was playing injured,
yeah,
and that cost them? Okay. You got Minnesota, who's this team that it played awfully well last year, but got completely deflated and kicked in the schnuts by the Lions and the Rams at the end of the year. Was the only two teams that were able to give them troubles, and now they've got a new quarterback. How are they going to respond? And then there's the Lions, which are the class of the division, win the last couple of years, and yet now the Lions have to deal with what really good teams have to deal with, and that is other teams rating their coaching staff. So questions with everybody, and yet I still feel pretty confident the Lions are still the best team in the division and that they'll still win the division.
248-539-9797. Do you think the Bears are a threat, or do you think that they are overhyped? We'll read some of the tweets that we got back coming up. Also, back to the Tigers in the noon hour leading into Tiger baseball this afternoon. The best of what A.J. Hinch told our morning show, including what role does he envision Melton being with this staff, and how important is being one of the top two seeds. Some of the things they talked about this morning here, what the Tiger skipper had to say in the noon hour. Here on 97.1, the ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents, which means they're really good at it. They have the largest auto accident settlement and the largest truck accident settlement in any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. They also have a level of care that comes with a Michigan Auto Law attorney. They call it white glove service. They will call you back. Proactive communication is super important to them. Michigan Auto Law returns phone calls within 24 hours. To get in touch with them, go to the website, autolaw.com. The law firm that puts people over everything. Autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
You've been injured in an auto accident, and now you're drowning in medical bills or dealing with insurance companies who couldn't care less about you. Injury attorney David Feminino needs to be your first call, period. Get David, get paid. It's not just a catchy phrase. It's a promise. So if someone you know has been injured, don't just sit there and hope things get better. Call David at 855-65-CRASH or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's getdavidgetpaid.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Okay, 5 o'clock. Good to have you. Mike Stone with me. Rico on vacation. We've talked a lot of football today, honestly. We're going to bring it back. You want to reimagine this Lions thing? Go ahead, Mike. I mean, you know where I'm at, but I'm interested. You have a different spin on this.
Are we doing your...
No, we're doing what you want to do. You've been in a bad mood all day, and I'm going to turn that frown upside down. Now, go ahead.
The Lions, I believe, and we're talking Trey Hendrickson here, correct?
Tom Pelissero reporting. Mm-hmm. Bengals are listening to a trade. For real.
Yes.
And several teams have reached out with offers. That's where it stands. Lions are not reported as one of them.
Correct.
We don't need to go down this road again.
No.
But you have a different thing you want to do.
Yeah, because what it's going to take... I think Diana Rossini said the asking price was a first-round pick and a young defensive player. Okay. Hypothetically, because we don't think they would do it, okay? We have to throw that out right there. Would you, as a Lion fan, 248-539-9797, here's the question. Would you rather have two elite defensive ends or two elite safeties? In saying that, the other question is, would you, and it's no, you know, shade thrown at this person because he's really, really good, all right? Would you trade Brian Branch and a number one pick to the Cincinnati Bengals for Trey Hendrickson on the assumption that he's going to sign for multiple years? And my answer to both my little questions is yes. As good as Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph are, probably you might find another pair somewhere. Probably the two best safety combinations in the National Football League, if not the best one of them, top two or three, right? Would you trade, would you rather have that or Hendrickson and Hutch, the 2H club? And the answer is yes. I'd rather have Hutchinson and Hendrickson. Because I think the safeties, as important as they are, if the quarterback can't throw the ball, what good is a safety, right?
Okay. Look, the problem I have in all of this, and I'm not going to bring it back to where I was with the topic earlier. The topic earlier, if you missed it, was just simple. Are you okay that this team's not all in? That they are one of the best teams in the league, but they're not all in and doing everything they can to win a Super Bowl. They're just not. And they hide behind, well, you don't understand the cap. No, we understand it just fine. Well, we have bills due. Well, a lot of those are self-inflicted. Nobody told you to sign all your own players. And also, oh, well, why can't you just be happy with Hutch? Well, because there's an opportunity to go all in and create a monolith.
Right. We're not making up the fact that this player is available.
Correct. Look, Mike, on surface, I don't hesitate from your question because there are very few players that are non-starters for me, right? Very few players are untradeable. You know, I'm not trading Penei Sewell. I'm not trading my quarterback. I'm not, you know what I mean? Those players are untouchable.
Right.
Like, I'm not trading Aiden Hutchinson. When you get down to it, you know, you have to look a little bit ahead, which is, am I going to pay Brian Branch? Jack Campbell's another guy. You know, you can say it's Jack Campbell's defense, but if the Bengals called, and mind you, the Bengals got rid of Jermaine Pratt, their team captain, and a linebacker. They have a need at linebacker. If they called and asked for Jack Campbell in a one, it's not supposed to be an easy decision based on you're acquiring an all-pro guy who led the league in sacks last year player. And you do have to pay him and pay him real money. Now, that doesn't bother me, and there are where there's a will, there's a way. But I think it's asking the people is more impactful because, for me, I don't get attached to players. Players are commodities to me. They're you don't get attached to it. There's nothing emotional there for me. I don't wear the jersey. I don't worship them. You know, you don't want to know most of the players in pro sports. You'd be very disappointed at the reality. So for me, they're nothing more than commodities. They're production quotients. And I'm willing to trade. I'd trade my mother for a Super Bowl. So I'm not the person to talk to. Talking to the listener, they're going to have more of an emotional attachment.
Right.
For me, it's a no-brainer. Because ultimately, there is nothing that Brian Branch will do that would remotely compare. There is nothing that the 26th pick in the draft will do that will remotely compare to the down-in, play-in-play-out effect of reinvesting in Aiden Hutchinson with Trey Hendrickson would have. I would argue to you, the only comparison for this, I have two. If you want a historical one, I'll offer you the Broncos with the Defoe line that was DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller in his prime. Super Bowl, and you couldn't block them. If you want the modern equivalent, it would be what Houston has put together with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if the refs didn't bone them seven ways to Sunday, they beat the Chiefs. As injured as they were, they Chiefs couldn't block them. So I'm a yes. I'm not flipping about it.
No.
I love Brian Branch. But, yeah, I do that deal.
248-539-9797. Would you, Lions Nation, make that trade?
I don't think they would. I think they're happy paying increased prices and just staying good, and they're happy ESPN talks about them. I don't think they're all in to win a Super Bowl. I don't think this fan base even understands what's going on.
Kevin, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Basically the way I see this, you know, with you guys said Parsons and Hendrickson, you know, if for Hendrickson, so it's all about Parsons for me. I'm getting excited just thinking about it. I'd give up three first rounders for him and call me crazy.
But he's not available.
I just feel that.
We
I thought you guys brought up Parsons.
No.
Okay, well, for Hendrickson.
Yes.
Okay, well, for Hendrickson.
Hendrickson's a part of the Pelissero report.
Right.
Where, Kevin, they're listening to trade offers.
Yes. And like you were saying, like, I would give up a first and Campbell, and I wouldn't even think twice about it. I wouldn't give up. I don't know. It'd be difficult to give up Branch, but honestly, the way I do truly believe there is a window with teams, and I think I would make the trade then. I would do it, a first and Campbell initially, but if not, then I would do Branch because it's all about the pass rush up front. And people can say, you know, well, the Bears traded for Khalil Mack years ago and didn't win anything. Well, he didn't have anyone opposite him that was ultra talented. So
they didn't have a real good quarterback either.
Well, yeah, but it's just like you think Hutchinson and then Hendrickson on the other side. And I mean, now's the time to win. It's now.
And you would create something that I think is just a non-negotiable. You would create something very similar to at the peak when Dallas had their great O-line together with Tyron Smith in his prime and Zach Martin in his prime and Travis Ferguson before he got sick and had to retire from football. Like, though creating those types of units, those types of positional groups, it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
And it is cost prohibitive. There's no question.
It's scary for the other team who has to sit and prepare for this.
Correct. But again, I think anything but a Super Bowl is a failure at this point. You know, we've gotten the playoff victory and we've gotten the national praise. We've gotten the primetime games. We've won a bunch of regular season games. There's nothing else. And at the end of this, they're going to enter this season with $42 million in cap space. Oh, that's going to be Hutch's money. Yeah, well, great. But the money doesn't roll over.
No.
And ultimately, you can create more cap. Do you know how much the cap went up this year, guys? Almost $25 million. Even if it goes up half of that, it will go up more in a two-year span than what it would cost you to get Trey Hendrickson. just on increase alone. The cap is headed for $300 million next year. So I don't get why you wouldn't go all in and try this. You know, there aren't teams with the cap space to do it, meaning the Eagles have already leveraged themselves to a point. And look, they got two Super Bowls in this window and right. appeared in a third. Okay. It worked for them. Eventually, you get to a point where the cap's real. No doubt. That's how they had to let Milton Williams go. That's how they had to let Josh Sweat go. The point I'm making is you're not at that point. And you've decided to keep everyone at every turn. Well, guess what? You're not going to keep doing that for long.
Right. And as good as Williams and Sweat are, they're not superstars.
No. And that's the problem is ultimately you planted a flag with Kirby Joseph in the secondary. You can't pay everybody.
No.
So if they wanted Brian Branch and picks, sadly, I'd give you him, his mouthpiece and his helmet. And it's time. I want the Dominators up front.
Me too.
Especially if you look at what the D-line would be on a play-in, play-out basis of Trey Hendrickson, Aleem McNeil, Tyleek Williams, and Aiden Hutchinson. That's really, really scary.
And you could actually use Davenport to give these guys a little breather.
Well, there you go.
John, I have in front of me five NFL teams expected to decline, two of which are in the NFC North, and all five of which I agree with.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through these with you.
Please.
And you tell me if you agree or not. And then we'll get to the broader conversation because it's going to spark a broader conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The first team is the Kansas City Chiefs, who they point out 10-0 in one-score games, an unsettled offensive line. They lose Joe Tooney, and they haven't exactly solidified that left side. And there's the looming suspension of Rashi Rice. He'll play the first four games, but beyond that, we just don't know. Can they really win 15 games again? Probably not, John. Take a step back. They could still win the division and take a step back.
Right. So it's really hard to win 15 games, even if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. However, yes, they take a step back, but what are we defining as a step back? 13 wins, 14 wins?
Well, how about this? You tell me for each of these. So we'll do that for each of these. Kansas City, step back. They're still going to win 12 games?
Yes.
Okay, cool, but still a step back.
Okay, but the other thing, though, when I look at it, okay, 10-0 in one-score games. Why are they 10-0 in one-score games?
Yeah, number 15 at quarterback.
Well, yeah.
And Andy Reid is a coach and a hell of a defense, and that's all still there.
If they're still going to be in those one-score games, do I predict that they win all of those one-score games? Yeah.
Okay. Number two is the Minnesota Vikings, 8-1 in one-score games. Obviously, they're going with a rookie quarterback this season. It's a question. They'll play the fourth toughest schedule, and I thought this note was interesting. They forced 33 turnovers last year, and from 2000 to 2023, teams that ranked in the top five in turnovers per drive, as the Vikings did a year ago, only 17% of those teams finished top five again. The thought is turnovers are volatile. They are not consistent year to year. Can they really live off of a big turnover forced number? Probably not.
Probably not, but as we've debated who's the number two team in the division, the reason I think that they're still the team that concerns me the most in the division is Brian Flores on defense, their defensive coordinator. Okay, yeah, Dan Campbell has owned him. Dan, you know, I get that, but he's really good. Do I think that they're going to get as many turnovers? Probably not. I mean, the numbers say that. Are they going to win 14 games? No. So what's a step back mean for them? 11 wins? 10 wins?
You tell me. What do you think?
I think they're a 10-win team.
Okay. I would have them at 9.
Okay.
Commanders expected to decline this upcoming season. The explanation? They were red hot on fourth down last season, 87%. Is that sustainable? They won 5 games in the final moments, including a Hail Mary. They took advantage of a last play schedule. When you really look at their roster, their defense was bad. You could run on them. Bobby Wagner's 35 years old. They do not have proven pass rushers. They're a team that should take a step back.
I don't care how old Bobby Wagner is. Until he's out of the league, he's a force. And I'm just not going to believe that one. What was their final win total last year of the regular season? Do you have that in front of you?
Last year's Commanders won 12 games. Could they be 10?
Oh, I think they're going to be 11 or 12. I don't think they take a step back.
Okay, so this is the first one you disagree with.
I do disagree.
The Colts, Four of the Colts' eight wins came against backup quarterbacks, including their only two victories of the season against competent competitive teams. Speaking of quarterback, it's a bit of a mess right now. They're going to start Daniel Jones. John, take a step back for the Colts and be one of the league's worst. Do you buy it?
Yeah, I buy it. I just don't think there's any path for Daniel Jones, or I don't think there's any path for their quarterback to find success. And
there really wasn't a right choice. If they picked Richardson, he not any good. And if they picked Daniel Jones, there's no upside and not very good either.
Is that where Tyler Warren is?
Yes.
So that's the only thing on offense I look at and go, they got a chance to at least convert some first downs.
And they have Jonathan Taylor run the ball.
Right.
But they're kind of immediate.
They quit Nelson up front. Yeah. Like, total badass. So,
but they're mediocre.
They're mediocre. Yes. They're mediocre to below mediocre. And it all comes down. The reason I say the Commanders don't take a step back is because of their quarterback. The reason that the Colts do isn't because of Quentin Nelson, isn't because of Jonathan Taylor, or I think Tyler Warren's going to be a really good pro. I think it's simply the quarterback play that prevents them from doing anything.
And if you guys haven't figured it out by now, the reason we're doing this list on Detroit Radio is the fifth team is the Detroit Lions. They are expected to take a step back. And here's their breakdown. And you've heard some of this, right? The schedule, the second toughest schedule on paper, the new coaches, the coordinators' assistants, and the offensive line. And they do a deep dive on this. The O-line, and specifically the interior of the O-line, replacing both Ragnow and Zeitler, they say it's a real concern because keeping Goff unbothered and free to operate has been essential. Every quarterback gets worse under pressure, but Goff has bigger splits than any other passer. Over the last three seasons, he leads all quarterbacks in total QBR, when defenses don't pressure him. When they do, he ranks 28th. So the best versus 28th, all based on pressure, and that is the biggest concern. So, John,
define the step back.
That is the question we want to ask to all of the Lions fans listening here. All these teams we've listed are probably going to lose a couple more games. The Lions won 15 last season. Mm-hmm. What does the step back look like? 248-539-9797. How big is that decline?
So if they win 12 games with this schedule and a developing offensive line, and I've said just because they don't start the season as a top five or even a top 10 offensive line doesn't mean they can't end the season as such. But it's going to take some time. There's probably going to be some growing pains with coordinators, even though I've really enjoyed watching the play calling of John Morton so far. And Kelvin Shepard, it's a little bit harder to tell because they're so vanilla defensively, what they're going to be. I think they win at least 12 games. And with this, with all of those things, I don't think that's a step back. I don't think it gets them the one seed.
No.
But I think it wins the division.
Which gives you a home playoff game at least.
Right. So if it is, and some people will say, well, if you don't win 15 games, and they're just going to play the numbers. You don't win 15 games, and if you don't get the number one seed, it's a step back. And I'm not going to argue that. It's impossible to argue.
Right. I would hope not. It's numbers.
Right.
But really, the goal is not going to be how many regular season wins did the Detroit Lions have. I'd gladly take only 10 if it meant they were in the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. So I don't expect them to go all the way back to 10. We want to know where you're at. I think it's 12. 12 is what I said. 12 is what I said when the schedule came out. I'm sitting there at 12 right now.
Oh, you didn't back off after Frank retired?
Well, was that 13 and back down to 12? That's what it was. Yeah. I'm going to stay at 12.
Okay.
Yeah, Frank's his retirement got me down one win.
Okay.
And I think some of these losses are going to be early losses without Aleem McNeil playing too. That's the other thing that I don't really think they spent a lot of time on. The conclusion was, I'd be shocked if the Lions became the 49ers and missed the postseason entirely. I expect Detroit to settle in at 12 wins. Is that the expectation?
But 12 wins is going to win you the division.
Should.
And I just, like, is that really a step back? Like,
Yes.
To me, it doesn't, and I can't quantify why it's not a step back because I can't say, it's three less wins. But you're looking at the schedule going, if they're able to, when you've got Kansas City, you've got Baltimore, you've got Philly, You've got Cincinnati, Washington. All of those teams are on the road. If you win three of those five games, like I don't know that last year's team could have done that.
But I want you to think of it this way. It's them losing more than twice as many games as a year ago.
Right, but if you compare the teams and you compare the wins, because one schedule's not like the other.
Oh,
it's,
I know.
It's like we're talking about college football right now, it's about Nebraska versus the schedule that Penn State's going to play.
Right, they're not playing the Titans and the Jags. They're going to face the Eagles and the Commanders.
But a 12-win team this year might be a better Lions team than a 15-win team last year.
Also agree.
So it's not a step back.
No, but it is a step back. Really, the steps are going to be measured in the postseason.
Right.
But as you're a Lions fan listening this morning, you hear the Lions as one of the five teams expected to decline. How big of a decline is it for the Lions? And John, I want you to think about this, because coming up next, knowing they're not going to win every game, what's the one they must win for you? And we'll take texts on that as well. That's next, 97.1.
So I don't know if you see this guy over here. He's got he's walking around with a tray of muffins.
Yeah.
But he's got a hoodie, and on the front of the hoodie it says, "Green Bay sucks." That's
Isn't
it.
Isn't that what Amon-Ra was wearing when they went and played there?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That is awesome. And he is correct. All right, so we're at Lions training camp, the Meyer Performance Center, Lions and Houston Texans, with the joint practices, 248-539-9797. We're asking people if there is a fringe roster player that you really hope makes this roster. Feedback coming in, they need to find room on the 53-player roster for Craig Reynolds. So that's kind of interesting. I am of the assumption that Craig Reynolds makes it, but I'll tell you who I know is going to make it. It's Sione Vaki, because Sione Vaki is such a key special teams contributor. And do you need four running backs?
I think they do.
And I want them to keep Craig Reynolds. I think Craig Reynolds is like the perfect RB3, but if there's a roster squeeze.
I don't know if they squeeze at the running back.
I don't know if they do either.
Four is a good number to have for running backs. So I think he makes it. In my mind, there's not much of a question on that.
No,
so I'll say this. I would be surprised if the Lions only went with three running backs.
Well, it might. What if it came down to a fourth running back or a sixth receiver? Because if they had to cut, and look, I think Craig Reynolds is a perfect RB3, but the way Vaki plays special teams, it just makes me wonder. I don't know. I don't know that it's 100% certain.
I guess I haven't paid enough attention to special teams to see what role, if any, that Reynolds plays on special teams.
Well, I know Vaki forced that fumble.
But wouldn't you think that Reynolds would be a good special teams guy anyway, because he just does everything?
I would think, but I love his role. And the fact that this guy brought up a Kang, do you think this is even a question?
I do. I think it's more of a question than people want to question it.
Want to admit, yeah.
I think, okay, we already know Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery are making the team. Sione Vaki's making the team just because he's so good on special teams. He's the Jalen Reeves Maven basically now. If they want to run trick plays or do whatever, he can tackle, he can gun, he can do all that stuff. He's making the team. The question is, has he overtaken Craig Reynolds as far as if I need a guy to spell the other two and get a carry or a reception, is he overtaken Craig Reynolds? Because then at that point, if you have an extra spot, you keep an extra receiver, right? And that might be a Craig Reynolds spot. So that's where you play the numbers game. And he might be a casualty of the numbers game. Not necessarily the fact that he's not good enough to make the team, but hey, we've said it time and time this throughout this offseason. It's harder and harder to make the Lions roster now.
Yep. More feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. Is there a fringe guy that you really hope makes this team? Ben and Roseville writes in, the two fringe guys I want to see make the team are number 45, Uku on the edge. Liked him last year. Like him this year. And number 15, Grant Stewart. Dude, it's the hair. We need Anzalone and Grant on the field at the same time. I can see the head and shoulders ads now.
Uku is going to have a tough battle.
Yep.
I think those last one or two defensive line spots, whether it's edge rusher or defensive tackle or trying to find that blend, I think it's tough. You got Wingo has come back to the team this week in practice. Maybe that's earlier than what they thought he would. So it's a crunch. Defensive line is tough to make on this team. There's good depth there. And if they were to go out and sign Za'Darius Smith, that bumps another guy out. This is one to watch over the next, 8 days or so.
So, yeah, I mean, Ukwu is a good player, and he feels like that kind of guy that they hope they could sneak through to the practice squad. But, I'm not sure if there's a spot for him. Here's from an unnamed texter, Ian Canelli. I coached him in Pee-wees. Oh. His work ethic and love of the game fits the Lions.
So, who just made that pick? Amik Robertson.
There you
go.
Just
made a diving, I don't know if it was trapped or not, but it looked like he may have picked that off. Beautiful, beautiful play by him.
Nice. So, Ian Canelli have a shot to make it? It's interesting, and this is probably the prime example of an edge guy. I can't remember who it was between Colton Pouncey and Nolan Bianchi, but two writers, one for the News, one for the Athletic, had their 53-man roster projections. One of them had Canelli making it, the other one didn't. So, local guy, Grand Valley State product. That would be something. That'd be something that would be interesting to follow whether or not he makes it. From Scott, I hope they keep Sione Vaki in the mix. He's likely to make it if they do carry four running backs. I think Vaki is surely going to make it. That roar you hear is for a 40-yard touchdown pass from Jared Goff to a streaking Jameson Williams.
Yeah, I was going to say, it had to be J-Mo.
Dude, when he let that one go, I thought he overthrew J-Mo by 10 yards.
I did too. I'm like, that's back in the end zone. Nope, that's caught.
Yeah. And J-Mo is hamming it up for the crowd. And here comes Goff with a high five. That was a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch.
Doug?
What?
I don't think I'm the first that's going to say this. I don't think I am the first, and Kang's going to like it, and I'm sure Kang feels it too. I think J-Mo's going to have a monster season. They are throwing to him a ton in practice.
Yep.
Way more than I remember last year. Like, last year it just seemed like they were almost like forcing it, okay, because he's limited. Is he limited with the routes he can run? This year take the cap off it and just let him go. I mean, he is – full-on sprinting past guys. He's running routes well. He's catching the football. He has been pretty dominant in the practices we watched.
Well, that play, they're about the 40-yard line, and I see Goff take the snap, and I see him let this ball go deep. And I'm thinking, well, that is no shot. And then you could see through the crowd, because there's a bunch of fans over there, I could see through the crowd just this blur. And he had a different gear. I mean, he was on the move. So, he could have a monster year. There's staying healthy. There's being around for everything. And there's familiarity with the offense. And there's chemistry with Jared Goff. And, a lot of that stuff, you want to see a guy hit the ground running. But then there's also what gets built over time. And what's gotten potentially built over time could be huge things for obviously a very talented player.
Yes.
Like, you and I aren't reinventing the wheel here talking about the physical gifts.
No,
but bringing along everything else, catching up to his physical ability, monster year could be in top.
Yeah, I'm excited from what I've seen thus far from Jameson Williams. He just, again, looks like it's a mismatch out there. Utilizing his height advantage and the speed is always flashing.
And Gator, you
Hooker in there now.
You mentioned it. Well, speaking of Hooker, you mentioned it. You know how I feel about J-Mo. There's so much room, so much more meat left on that bone, I felt like, for this year to him just, put up some monster numbers. But you bring up Hooker. He's doing what Hooker hasn't done, and he's developed and progressively gotten better every single rep, practice, and year. And by all accounts, his route tree is a lot better this year and more polished. So he's not just going to go deep like you guys just saw, but he can make the tough catches. We saw that last year in the playoff game when he got rocked over the middle. If he can start making, mid-range short yardage catches, slants, that opens up the top even more. And so I expect a lot from him this year. Love it.
Well, and having a quarterback that can deliver the ball as accurately as Jared Goff does, and this one was delivered accurately by Hendon Hooker on a crossing route and down the near sideline, running away from the defense is Dominic Lovett, the 7th-round draft pick out of Georgia, and he will take it to the house 70 yards.
That was it was impressive throw, impressive catch, impressive run.
Well, it's funny. That's what I was just bringing up with J-Mo. If you hit J-Mo in stride, his yards after catch are going to be enormous. And that's the great thing about Goff is putting it in. It's one thing to put it in the catch radius. It's another thing where a receiver doesn't have to break stride to catch the football. And that's what Jared Goff was really good. I think of the Minnesota game last year when he hit J-Mo on a crossing pattern. And he took it to the house.
Well, it's a massive opportunity for Hendon Hooker on Saturday. I imagine he's going to get a ton of snaps at quarterback. I don't know if he's going to start or not, but I think it's obvious that Kyle Allen has locked up the number two job. But Hendon Hooker's got a lot to show to make sure that he actually makes the roster to be the third guy. I imagine the Lions are going to be looking at other quarterbacks as well on the waiver wire. But if Hendon Hooker wants to stay here, he's got to show he belongs in the game and not just show it up in practice. I mean, it was a beautiful throw in practice, but will that translate on Saturday?
Okay, they just had a running play. They ran number twos behind a left-sided line, and the Sailors kid.
He's been impressive. That's another guy.
So here's the thing with him. Feels to me like there's just not a spot for him. He's the kind of guy that's in camp that probably only makes it if there's an injury, so I hope he doesn't make it. Which is a weird way to put it because
right. You don't want an injury.
But I don't want an injury. And I don't know how else. I can't see him vaulting into the top four. And I'm not even sure, 100% sure they're going to keep four. So, but he just had a very, very impressive run. And he's had some impressive runs in this preseason. But again, not sure there's a spot.
Well, he strikes me as the kind of guy, it's a classic practice squad guy. That I don't know if other teams are going to pick him up. I imagine he's a guy that Lions know about and. You know, other teams are worried about their own guys. Teams do tend to fall in love with their own guys that are in camp.
Yeah.
Just there's familiarity. They've got the playbook. They know what's going on. And Sailors has been kind of impressive with his bowling ball approach to the running back position. But he hasn't, like, flashed anything really special where I think he'd be picked up by somebody else. I like what he's done, and I think he's a practice squad guy.
Okay. Changing gears here a little bit. We were talking in the office today about great fantasy football team names. Kang, you gave me one. I don't know where you got it from. Was it somebody in your league or you just saw it out there on social media?
I saw it out there on social media.
Okay.
No one somebody in your league has this name.
No one in your league has this name?
Not yet.
Okay. It's somebody who has CeeDee Lamb.
Correct.
Okay. And the team name is CDs TDs. CDs TDs.
Careful.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So.
I'm hearing our former program director, Dan Zampillo's voice in my head. You can't say. I know, Dan. I know. You don't have to tell us what we can't say.
CDs TDs.
Touchdowns.
Do you.
Touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
TDs.
Do you know. Do you or someone in your league have an elite fantasy football name? Let's take 10 texts right now. Do you or does someone in your fantasy football league have an elite fantasy football team name? 248-539-9797, the first 10 texts. We will sift through them. We'll read the ones on the air that we are allowed to. And remember to sign your text. If it's not you, tell us who it is in your league that has a elite fantasy football team name. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Okay, so David, you have audio you want to play for people. I'm not giving you a big sales pitch. This was national media. I believe it was Kay Adams, NFL Network, or wherever the hell she's working. The point is, she asked Brad Holmes about, make the bad man stop, getting a pass rusher, asked about Trey Hendrickson. David, set it up however you want.
That's it. She was just asked. She asked him about Trey Hendrickson. Here's what Brad Holmes had to say.
Yeah, he followed it up and said, yeah, but we got somebody that, you know, we like as well. So basically saying they got Hutch. So. I found that very disheartening. I mean, I don't know what you guys did when I was gone, but when I saw that Trey Henderson news was out there and Cincinnati's actively taking bid. You know what? Give us a trade. We'll talk about it. We'll see what happens. I'm thinking, I thought this topic was dead, but it came back because Cincinnati opened the door back up again. And I'm thinking to you, looking at this team, you got to make a swing at this and you got to go and offer them something. But when I heard that just put a bullet in it for me that he's just really not that interested. He's ready to play with the chess pieces that he has, and he's going to go to war with his guys, and please stop asking me. Because she asked about him without saying his name. She did everything. We all knew that he was talking about Trey, and he was like, nah, you know, it's cool and all, but, you know, have you seen Hutch play?
I don't know what you guys want from me. You guys can all stare at me. I'm done. I'm done talking about it. They are not interested in going all in. They are not interested in doing everything they can to win a Super Bowl. So you know what? F it. I did the sales pitch yesterday. You want to know what happened when you weren't here? Brian Branch and a first-round pick for Hutch. I mean, for Hendrickson. I said, go ahead. That's the offer. I'm the Bengals. You want it?
Yeah.
So fine. Fan base is happy. Brad's happy. God bless.
And I like Branch, but yeah, absolutely.
They want a young defensive player and a first-round pick. That's according to Tom Pelissero and Diana Rossini. The point is, this fan base, do whatever you want to do. I don't even know if this fan base can get out of bed after last football season. So fine, don't do it. Don't be one of the several teams that has lobbed an offer. What does Hutch have to do with the price of beans?
It's almost as if he says he likes somebody else, he's cheating on Hutch. And it's like, no, you're making him better because now defenses have to pick their poison. So which one do we double team? Because we can't double team both of them. And if you do, you'll be able to run right up the middle of their offensive line because it'll be one-on-one coverage.
I do a one and Branch, and guess what it means? You're not going to have the money to keep J-Mo, and you're not going to have the money down the line to keep Sam Laporta. Guess what? I don't care. And by the way, for the people who are going to call up and say, you can't spend that much on your D-line, are you going to do it at your safety spot? Because you already made Kirby the highest paid safety in the history of the game. And Branch ain't going to be taking less.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would do it. There, oh, shocking. Oh, and, man.
Okay, and here's let's just say you made the trade, Mike. If you're creative about it, if you really got some people who are, you know, smarter than us when it comes to the salary cap, you're sitting there with about, what, $43 million? Front load his contract. Give him a big signing bonus this year so that in the future years, you don't have to pay Henderson that much money, that you could afford to keep him under the cap because you spent the money this year for him. So he's happy, you're happy, and you're winning. And you got one of the best defensive lines in the NFL.
Look, I just, again, I did it yesterday. If people want to talk about it, you can. But here are the living examples of the franchises that have just pushed the rev limiter the better part of the last decade, okay? Since 2017, there are three franchises that have run the NFC. Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
They've been to three Super Bowls. They've won two of them. The LA Rams. They've been to two Super Bowls. They won one of them. And the San Francisco 49ers have been to two Super Bowls. They had the lead in the fourth quarter. Didn't get it done. The only other one, COVID, the 2020 Bucks. I could include them by saying the following.
They went after Brady.
Since 2017, it has been all gas, no brakes in the NFC. You go all in. After the Eagles had to retool, Howie Roseman, we're going to go get A.J. Brown. We're going to go move up in this draft. We're going to go out and get Saquon Barkley. Well, you can't get Saquon Barkley. We won't have the money for what? Milton Williams? I don't care. I won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you can't make a trade in division.
The point is, these franchises, the LA Rams, F them picks. You look at all of this in totality. The San Francisco, John Lynch, and how it has been push the pedal down. Don't tell me that if they wanted to do this, that they couldn't. The issue I have is they don't want to do it. It's not that you can't do it. You don't want to.
And yesterday, in the interview with Kay Adams, I'm done. I mean, we talked about the old bits and things. I'm done bringing up anything with the Lions defensive line. Because the way he just kind of, yeah, you know, he yucked it up, but this, it's nah, we're good. We're trying to be calculated with all of these things. And oh, okay, sure, fine. You don't care about your defensive line. I don't care. So
no, once again, name me a Super Bowl team. And again, out of that facility, in articles, oh, Davenport's the key to this defense. Okay, so what Super Bowl team is going to trust a guy that started a grand total of 3 games in 2 years? And by the way, if you're going to call up and do the whole, we're trying to win 12 Super Bowls, hard to do it before you win your first.
Right, and I figure maybe there's a sense of urgency because your 6th-round pick is going to be out for a while. So
he's done for the year, bro. Sorry.
Oh, for the year?
That's to me. Pec injury, down for a while. Yeah, the last time you talked about somebody being down for a while was Rakestraw, dead. El Hassamine, gone. And by the way, I wasn't turning some 6th-round pick into the next Jared Allen.
Right.
But no, I don't know what to tell you. That's what we did while you were gone.
Okay.
But I'm done with it. They don't want to do it. They do not want to go all in. They have a plan. The plan is to pay all their own people. The insular, go ahead. Do whatever you like. To me, you add a Trey Hendrickson, and it means in 2 years I got to let a few people go. I sign it. Why? Hutch on one side, Hendrickson on the other. It is, you can't scheme for it.
Right. And for 2 years in your window that I do believe is closing, you'll be the best defensive line in the NFL.
Right. And oh, by the way, it wouldn't hurt
this side of you.
Wouldn't hurt to get the guy when Aleem McNeil's missing most of this year.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Think about by the playoffs, Hutch, Hendrickson, Tyleek Williams, and Aleem McNeil. Go ahead, scheme for that.
And let's just say you get lucky and Davenport's there.
Okay. I don't know what else to say. So go ahead. You guys tell me what your reaction to that audio is.
Because I mean, to me, and I'm not that smart, but the fact that you have all of this money this year that seems like you're not going to spend, front load his contract for this season, and then you can pay him less money down the line.
You can find the money for Aiden at any time.
And the cap is going to go up, so the money will be there. Don't worry. You know, how about this? Just don't even worry about the money. Figure it out.
I did this yesterday. I said, guys, the cap went up by north of $25 million last year. Even if the cap goes up by 2/3 of that this year, you're going to have a salary cap approaching $300 million. The cap will keep going up. All right? You know, oh, well, what are we going to do in 2 years? Well, first of all, you're not paying Jared Goff $70 million next year, meaning you're going to restructure his deal. And you could restructure a number of deals. They don't want to do it.
Yeah, and every guy that you've already signed now is going to be considered cheap in 2-3 years.
So I'll leave it to the people. But I wanted to play the audio because it is newsy. But I'm not giving some big presentation. I'm done with it. You're cool with them not being all in? God bless. Let's kick off and play football. You've been injured in an auto accident, and now you're drowning in medical bills or dealing with insurance companies who couldn't care less about you. Injury attorney David Femininio needs to be your first call, period. Get David, get paid. It's not just a catchy phrase. It's a promise. So if someone you know has been injured, don't just sit there and hope things get better. Call David at 855-65-CRASH or go to that website. GetDavidGetPaid.com. That's GetDavidGetPaid.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.